Hi, I'm Jen Suliafu, and I'm delighted to be on this journey with you. Life is an exciting game with many twists and turns. It gets really good when we begin to learn how it works and how to win. I believe that no matter where someone's life is at, we have the power to make radical shifts to create a life that truly honors us. I live for awakenings, so let's get to it, darlings. Okay, everyone, welcome back. Okay, get excited. Today's going to be a good one. We are with my feng shui master, someone that's so dear to me. This is her third time on the show. So welcome, Tina Falk. Hi, honey.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
I am always looking forward to our conversations. So let's just jump in. I kind of have a habit of doing this when I get on with Tina, where we start talking. And then we're like, wait, oh yeah,
let's should hit record.
Push record and let's go into, you know, things where people can hear this. So for those of you that don't know who Tina is, I went on a journey with her many years ago. I mean, we connected back in 2013. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a decade.
It has.
We've been going together for 10 years, honey.
So cool.
It's our anniversary.
It is.
But I just learned so, so much from you. I had no idea what I was in store for. I can't even say how profound you have been in my life, that anytime I get with you, it's like no time has passed. And it's just, it's so natural and normal. It's kind of like you're a place of comfort for me, for sure. Mm-hmm. So I'm so happy to talk to you today.
Yeah, I just me love too. You so much.
Let's start with talking about the energy of this year, because you are definitely an expert on feng shui and studying the energy of the year. And so the beginning of this year was kind of a whirlwind for me because I was going through my father's passing. And so I didn't do a lot of what I normally do at the beginning of the year, because I was just in a stupor. I was kind of just handling things the best I could to navigate through that. So I'm looking forward to learning some things from you today. I know some things as far as it being the year of the rabbit, but let's just start at square one. I know you do entire seminars for the energy of the year. And so I'm asking you to put it all into a very shortened amount of time, but if you can kind of just give people an overview of what do we expect this year. I know it's well underway, but it's fun for me to hear it a little bit when you get into the energy of it, because you can already see things showing up. And so that's kind of fun when you know, we're in May now and we can kind of hear what are the things to expect this year.
Yeah, it's definitely different when you can look, you know, in hindsight and go, oh, this makes sense. But it's really interesting because I was just on a call this morning with a colleague of ours, Jeremy Bills, who is an Eastern and Western astrologer. We were just talking about this. And it's crazy that we're in May already. You know, it speaks to the speed of the time that we're in. In fact, I was on another call of colleagues and something had shifted on the planet, the rotation. Oh, I wish I knew the details, but the rotation, it's actually part of the speeding up of time. So my perspective is the Chinese perspective through the Chinese astrology lens, and then bringing feng shui into like, okay, well, what can we do with the energy that's presenting itself this year? And the Chinese New Year began February 4th this year. So we've been in it for, you know, just over 3 months, really. So we've got 3/4 of the year left. So that's significant. So we want to stay present and really focus on what we're learning so far and what we're kind of sitting in right now. And of course, how we're going to play this year out. One thing Jeremy and I were talking about this morning is like, who would have thought that this rabbit energy, which represents compassion, family, gathering, sweetness, tenderness, diplomacy, that we'd be sitting here right now, because we're really not seeing much of that when we look at the global stage, when we turn on the news, when we see what's happening around the world. So you got to look up Jeremy because he's just the best. He reminded me of a story that he shared with me. He sent me a video at the beginning of the year, and a woman was holding a big bunny, and then there was another bunny, and the two of them were just like this. This is their fighting, right? They're just patting at each other, swapping at each other, and she's trying to keep them separate. But he said they were just relentless. And that's what this year felt like to him. And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's what it feels like. It's just like not giving up. It's just this relentless energy that's quick. It's unpredictable. Because think of when you see a bunny, you know, shroom, they fly across the road, or you want to approach them and they dart off into the woods. They're just such a quick energy because their heart pumps quickly. They have to move quickly. They have to react quickly. And so that's part of the energy that we're seeing and feeling and witnessing right now, is this relentlessness. And the visual that came up for me is kind of like, okay, well, we came out of this last year of the tiger, where we were supposed to get focused and clear on what we want. And this year is about planting seeds of compassion and creating more peace for ourselves and for our family and for the world. But I feel sometimes like I'm the Roomba vacuum cleaner, just like doing my job. And then I hit a wall, and then I keep bumping into the same wall. And then until I realize, oh, this isn't getting me anywhere. So I'll go turn this way until I bump into another wall. So it's just kind of a funky energy that I honestly wasn't predicting, you know, back in January when I did my Chinese New Year event, because I always want to strive for the best. You know, I see the best in people. I always wanted to see the place of gratitude, the golden thread, find the good in the situation. And that's really what I want this year to be. And not to say that it can't be. You know, I was really hoping this war in Ukraine would come to an end this year. That's my hope. And that we can find peace in our hearts, and that we can reach out and take care of one another. Like a rabbit does. Rabbit energy are protectors of the future. They're the caretakers of the future. They take care of children because they produce a lot of babies. So it's a very productive energy. Rabbits are a bit promiscuous. It can be a sexual energy as well. But a rabbit, where it sits in the feng shui compass, is in the east, which represents past, present, and future. So to me, that says that we have some work to do, right? There's some old stuff coming up. Maybe it's a disease that was inherited, or a belief or a behavior that, you know, you picked up as a kid, or it's healing your generations. There's just, it feels like a lot of work to be done. And the other thing that on top of that, though, is it's not just a rabbit year. There's other energy there. That's like just saying I'm an Aries. There's so much more to it. When we look at the five Chinese elements, metal, water, wood, fire, and earth, there's three of those elements that are predominantly high this year, and they're very active elements. And one is water. So water is the shapeshifter. It moves things. It can be really deep and unpredictable and scary. It can be depressive. It can be overwhelming and sad. It's emotions. Or it can be really shallow and surfacey, approachable, healing. Water is a healing element. So that's the master element for the year. So that gives us some indication of what this year is meant to be. It's a healing moment for us. And yeah, some of us are going to be triggered and have to go to those depths and really dig deep for some of this stuff. And that's more of an internal kind of energy. Then the wood is really high. And wood in Western elements is wind. It's air. It's our breath. And it's like 32.5% out of 100% is wood. And wood is anger. It governs the liver in traditional Chinese medicine. It's our filtration system. People don't have filters these days. People are doing a lot of work. They're being triggered by so much. But then rather than working on the core of their triggers, they're projecting it out onto other people. They're taking it on others. It's that quickness of that rabbit, so quick to react. Rather than waiting and going, oh, maybe this is a new friend coming, rather than being scared by somebody approaching you. So the wood is really a lot. because it interferes. Wind is different than a breeze. Everybody enjoys a cool breeze. But when it's too windy, you got to batten things down. You got to go inside. Your hair is a mess. Whatever it is, it shifts things big. So that's a big energy. In fact, feng shui literally means wind and water. So it's these moving energies. And wind often is the unseen energy. It's the energy that, oh man, I didn't see that coming. Or it's not the obvious of what we see in the world, but it's like, where is this feeling coming from? So right now, we already know that we can use water and wind or our breath to help us ease some of these situations that we find ourselves in, these reactive moments when we're listening to somebody talk about something, or if we hear news, we can use our breath, we can use water to regulate our own nervous system, our own response system. The other element that's really high that we haven't seen this high for a while is fire. Fire is destructive, right? It destroys things. But the great things that come out of those destructions is that things are transformed. We build again. The forest regenerates and new life comes back to it. But fire being so high this year, fire governs our blood system, so our circulatory system, our heart, our head. I've seen more issues, health issues in those areas this year. Across the board with all my colleagues, heart attacks out of nowhere, headaches, inflammation in the body, just inflamed. And in traditional Chinese medicine, aside from that, it also governs the triple burner. I don't know a whole lot about the triple burner, but I know it regulates our immune response. It also regulates our fight, flight, freeze, and fawn response. So that's what we are feeling. Right? We're being triggered, right? Fire is triggering. Like Jeremy said something so perfect today. It's like when the fire's too hot, we typically don't move in and get closer to it. We want to back off, give it space, cool down. But right now, so many people are wanting to engage in that and throw fuel on it and make the fire bigger. And there's good reasons for that because there's a lot of anger, which is an impetus for change. It's like, maybe if I destroy this, maybe if I blow this up, we can rebuild it and it'll be different. So all of these things are manifesting in our world right now. In the best way that I see things is through the perspective of the Chinese, it's the yin and yang perspective. That there's a low frequency to all this stuff and then there's a high frequency. Yeah. And we have to be really careful where we feed our energy. Because like you said, we're already into May. If we're fueling fires, if we're projecting our fears, the things that we're not willing to go internally and work on, we're just going to perpetuate that and it's just going to get more.
It's funny. For some reason, I always forget that the Chinese New Year starts later. Because I was thinking, oh, we're almost in month five. And so we've got five, we're on our fifth month of this. And so, yeah, that's a good reminder to me, even though I know that. So we're 3 months in now, basically three full months. We're on our fourth month. As I'm listening to you, I also always think of the positive attributes of the year. Mm-hmm. I know what the energy of the rabbit is. And so I was thinking, oh, yes. Heck yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. That intensity of the tiger. Okay. We're putting that down and then going into the rabbit. And I was like, oh, this is going to be such a beautiful, compassionate year, more gentle, more quiet, more mellow, definitely rapid and quick, but just gentle and loving. And I was like, yes. Awesome. Right. And I'm sure there are attributes of that on a micro scale. There's always the micro and macro scale. The macro scale is what Tina and I are talking about, is what is the energy of this year that every human on the planet has on a plate for them? This is the offering of the universal energy. Mm-hmm. Then on a micro scale, in each person's life, they're going to have their own different layers of energy as well. And how is this energy showing up for them specifically? Mm-hmm. I am feeling like what you said, you know, you were hoping it would be a lot of generational healing and things like that for families. I feel that totally in my life. I feel like I have witnessed my family heal things that we have kept for my whole life that I've witnessed, that we've let go of so much of that. And we have come full circle with the patriarch of our family transitioning. Yeah. And so that rabbit energy has been very present for me personally. And in my coaching practice, I see that as well, because it's really easy to be able to see patterns happening in people's lives, because I get to see behind closed doors what's really going on in your family, in your heart, in your marriage. And I definitely see that rabbit energy of a lot of healing, a lot of people really looking at their family, looking at their belief systems, mm-hmm. they've been holding for decades, and finally letting that go, coming to a place of forgiveness, compassion for their parents, however that shows up, which is beautiful, beautiful to see. It'll be nice to see it show up a little bit more on the macro scale, right?
Yeah, but that just goes to the saying, you know, be the change that you want to see in the world. And so I think even though we may not be seeing it in the big picture, the big scheme of things right now, then create it for yourself, right? Just because it's like, well, I'm not seeing the rabbit. I don't know what the heck you're talking about. Well, create it. Call the rabbit in. Sit in meditation and visualize a rabbit with you. Visualize that you're a rabbit. Visualize that your family is just these playful bunnies, that they're just happy to be out in the sunlight today. Go to a petting zoo, go to a pet store, just observe rabbit behavior. They're just a docile creature. And even though they're doing this fighting or boxing or whatever, it's just like they don't have claws. They're not like drawing blood. So what you're saying is just a good reminder that we can create this. We don't have to succumb to what other people are doing, what their choices are. And in fact, just in May itself is a very introverted, it's a snake month, and it's a time for us to move inward and do our own personal work. We forget that. We want everybody else to do their work, right? Like, deal with your own stuff, but we have to be able to go there and do that. So we have this heat of this time that is so intense with all of these elements, and we really need to do what we can to keep our cool, to be compassionate, to be gentle with other people. I'm not a fan of the news, but I watch it because I need to know what other people are consuming. I need to know what's going on in the world so that I can meet my clients and my students where they're at. To see that there's a 13-year-old boy in Serbia that goes and had a list of classmates that he wanted to kill, my first thought was, this could have been solved if everybody just treated each other with respect and was kind to one another, you know, rather than him feeling bullied or feeling like he was let, you know, out of the circle or being made fun of. We're missing the kindness thing. And it would be a real shame if we let this year go by with this opportunity, the presence of this rabbit energy, to not learn that and not be better at it, even with ourselves.
Yeah.
To be gentler.
It has to start with ourselves, right?
Yeah, we need to be gentler. I'm hearing it so much from other people. My family's kind of been going through a crisis the past couple of weeks. And other people are telling me, like, give yourself space. Be gentle on yourself. And I know that this is coming from people who have learned to do that for themselves. And they're teaching me how to do it for myself. Because we are hard on ourselves. We think we could be doing better, or we didn't handle that correctly, or we should be stronger than we're presenting. So we do really need to show up for each other in a more gentle way, a more loving, compassionate way, because we are all one. We are family, all of us. We're a human family. But we also need to do that for ourselves.
I always see that with a mom or a dad, that that's the best thing you can do for children, is to start loving you, start being more honoring of you and more gentle with yourself. Because as you do that, your children will see that and they'll benefit from that. You can't tell your kids, quit being so hard on yourself. Yet mom's sitting there walking around vacuuming the house thinking how all of her wrong moves as a mom. It ripples out and truly it is that domino effect. So you got to do it. You got to walk the walk, right?
You do. Yeah. We're not going to talk about next year, but next year is a significant shift. And so we need to take this for everything we can day by day.
I'm not going to talk about next year. I knew you would say that.
No, because we got to be right here, Jen.
I know. I know. I want to know about the year of the dragon. I'm just kidding. I was wondering if I could kind of, you know, somehow get a little teaser. I don't know.
Maybe that was enough.
When I was, you know, for years listening to like what's happening in the world, like energy, listening to astrologists or numerologists or Chinese astrology, any of these powerful tools to see like what's coming mm-hmm. in our world. The 2 years that I have heard the most about were 2020. I heard about that way, and I know you did, way, way, way before 2020, because I started with you in 2013. That was when I very first started paying attention to energy. And so I had 7 years that I was, you know, starting to pay attention to energy. So many years ahead of that. And it was like, whoa, I'm on the edge of my seat. How's this going to be? And again, I expected it to be really rosy because I'm like, ooh, cool. A lot of awakenings this year. There's going to be a spiritual shift. There's going to be an evolutionary shift in humanity. Something really big is going to happen for humans to have to come together.
It did, but in a crazy way.
I know. I thought, wow, that's amazing. I can't wait. And then it was like, wait, this is how it's playing out. This isn't what I wanted. So yeah, 2020 and then 2024. So I am again on the edge of my seat. What's going to happen? I'm like a little kid on Christmas, like, woo, what's going to happen? I'm really looking forward to it though, because I am in a space of wanting to enjoy the ebbs, the flows, the ups, the downs, and enjoy this roller coaster ride. Mm-hmm. And you were saying that you have to kind of plug in and see what people are watching right now. And I get that. I so get that. And I'm sure you feel this too, because you taught me this, but I've had to really learn how to plug in and unplug, plug in and unplug, mm-hmm. and know when it's like, okay, I can't do that right now. I have been in a space of unplug for quite some time. I was really plugged in more than I had been in a very long time. And it started to really affect me. I was driving my husband crazy. He was like, knock it off. Turn it off, right? And so I have really, really been in a space of my own little bubble. I am in my own little world. And so I get information from people. Like there's one guy that I meet with, one of my clients, and he gets really wrapped up into what's happening out in the world. And I'll be like, well, tell me what's going on. Give me the news right now, right? So he'll give me like his update of what's happening on the political stage or, you know, all the things, but it's wildness out there, right?
It is. And I think it's getting more challenging to predict, you know, what's coming or what's ahead. And, you know, like when you're on the roller coaster that you talked about, you're just concerned about where you're at right in that moment, like not what the next curve is, you know, coming up. You're so exhilarated and right in the moment. And so we need to stay in the moment. People are waking up. People are exercising their power of free will, making choices, standing up for what they believe is no longer serving them, standing up against that, challenging it, rebelling against it, which is going to be huge next year. So maybe that's the little tease, is it's going to be a very rebellious year next year. So that when people are more engaged consciously and awake, we can't make predictions. Because predictions are made off of where we are right now, in the energy we are right now, this is what will happen. But this energy is constantly changing because of the dynamics of the world that we're living in. it's so fascinating to me to look at the world through an energetic lens. It's not judgmental. Scientists aren't studying energy and molecules and photons and the vibrations and frequencies of things and judging the low frequencies as bad. Oh, we just want to hang out with the high frequency photons. No, it's just, it is what it is. We need this. And in this extreme world that we're living in, like you said, you're seeing that there is that level of gentleness and compassion and generational healing, right? We're living in such a divisive time that we're not going to understand what some people are doing. It's not even going to make sense to us. Like, why would you pick that? Why would you think that? Why would you believe that? It's just, why are you reacting that way? Like, it just is so foreign. And they're going to feel the same about the others. So it's just a weird time because, unfortunately, what you see on the news, they want you to see something specific, right? They have an agenda. They want you to see what they want you to see. So we need to focus. We need to put ourselves in a bubble to protect ourselves from those outside forces so that we can say, oh no, the rabbit? Oh my gosh, the rabbit is such a blessing to me this year. I'm loving everything about this year. Because that's a reality for a lot of people. And I think we have the power to create it for ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I had to really unplug, is because I started realizing I was focusing on things I didn't want to create. I didn't want to experience that. I wanted to skip out on that part, right? Mm-hmm. And so because we are creators, we can focus on expecting the worst to happen, expecting the chaos to happen, expecting things to never change. Mm-hmm. And that was, I'd fought so hard to get out of that pattern that I was like, no, I'm not going to go back into that, because I saw myself feeling afraid. Mm-hmm. And I had so much anxiety as a child, as an adult. Once I became a mom, my anxiety was so wound up that I really, really did a lot of work to get out of that. And so I can catch myself if I start getting, you know, a little uptight or worried about anything, then I know how to course correct quickly. And that's what I feel like all of us really like to benefit. We've got to manage our own emotions and really know when to course correct before we get so wound up we don't know how to get out of it. I'm sure you get people that come into your path. I know I do, that come into my path and they're so wound up. They're like, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, let's pull up our sleeves because we got some work to do.
Yeah.
And the first thing I'm telling them to do is to unplug from things that are keeping them in that space of fear, right? Whether it's your best friend or
the person you're sleeping next to, or
yeah. Or your favorite morning show, or I don't care what it is. If you are in a space of chaos and you're so wound up that you want to X out of life, or you are missing life because you're so terrified, then we got to put the oxygen mask on you. You got to calm down. We got to get you in a good space, and you got to unplug from all of it, you know?
You can't make long-term decisions from that place, right? When you're in an extreme mindset or an emotional space, it's going to be a fight, flight, freeze, or fawn response. That's it. It's just purely for survival. And that's moment by moment. So you can't get grounded. So the elements that we're missing in the element wheel this year are earth and metal. Earth is just a fraction. So earth is grounding. It's connecting back to Mother Nature. So part of unplugging then would be to get outside, go for a hike, go camping, go sit on the sidelines at a kid's soccer game, go gardening, walk barefoot in your grass, pull weeds, break up dirt balls in the ground, gather rocks from a walk, go to a crystal shop, do those grounding things. Because earth in the element will suffocate the fire. It will control the flow of the water. It will hold space for the wood or the air. It will help us stay grounded and centered. And what we're really weak on this year is metal energy. And metal is ethereal energy in Western elements. So it's more of spirit energy, but it's also discipline. So that's part of the unplugging that you're talking about, is we need to be more disciplined this year to do the things that we know we need to be doing. Taking care of ourselves, not doing this, doing this instead, saving our money. Oh gosh, that's a whole other conversation talking about this whole period nine energy that we're in. We all need to have multiple streams of income these days. The world's too unpredictable. You know, banks are crumbling. People are on strike. There's too much unpredictability. We need multiple streams of income in case something happens in one area of our life. We should all be focused on that and figure out how we can create those for ourselves. So even though those first three energies that we talked about, the elements are really high, we can pull in the other two to help bring balance to that wheel. So we're not wobbling. So we're not in the chaos. So we're not freaking out and wanting to check out. So that we can stay grounded and present and disciplined and focused on finding the good stories, finding the love, finding the opportunities to be your best.
How can people bring in more metal energy?
Organize something in your house, you know, organize a drawer, go through your closet, organize the hall closet that's got the, you know, everything shoved into it, go through your garage. Also, working out at the gym, it's very disciplined. You're using metal equipment, you're doing reps. It's like marching band. Mm-hmm. That's metal energy. It's finding something to be accountable for. And maybe if you suck at accountability and follow through and being disciplined, find somebody who's really good at it. Get a trainer, get a best friend, get somebody who can be your accountability partner, who makes you accountable. Hey, let's check in with each other every Monday and let's like set some intentions with what we want to do and plan. Hey, how can I support you? And then we'll check up the next Monday and we'll see how we're doing. Be accountable. Stay focused, discipline yourself. It's a highly spiritual element, but look at this, the great spiritual leaders and people, the monks, the preachers, the ministers, the sifus, the yogis. That's a discipline to sit on a cushion or to do years to master your craft. So find something that can keep you focused. It's also technology, and maybe that's why we're so wrapped in technology, is because metal is so low. But that's not necessarily the best place to go to add metal into your world. It could also just be jewelry, putting something on and making yourself feel better. Put on a pretty necklace or some pretty bangles or something.
Did you hear that, ladies? You can go shopping for some jewelry. Just say, Tina says, I need this. That's awesome. The electronics. This morning, my husband was looking at his phone, and we have what we call coffee connection. And I was in the kitchen making coffee, and he's staring at his phone. And I'm like, how's your phone doing, honey? How's your phone? And he's like, oh, okay. I'm sorry. He's just like enthralled with his phone, right? Which that's just kind of a sign of the times these days. You have to be very intentional to unplug from your phone, but I'm not telling him he needs his electronics this year, but that is good. That's good to hear. You know, that's really good to know that needing that metal element. One thing that I want to know with you is that I want to ask you is, what do you think? What do you make of all of this? Because I talk to a lot of people that are terrified the way our world is going. I talk to people where they go, I am hopeless for these next generations of what's happening in the world. There's no hope. Kind of speak to that for a minute. What do you see happening in our world, and why is all of this happening?
Oh, this is, yeah, I do. I think this is the most exciting time to be on this planet. I'm here for this, and you're here for this. We're here for this. All of us watching this are here. This is such a pivotal time, and it really took off like in the late 1980s. That's when we reached a level of mass consciousness that enough people on the planet kind of said, oh, we can start asking questions. We can start wondering, is there such a thing as like reincarnation and all this other stuff? And looking at the other beings and universes and aliens and all of that. In fact, in the late 90s, I was sitting in a small group of healers in a living room, and the woman whose home we were in was my spiritual mentor, my sister, my mother, my best friend. And she said, "You guys don't get it. You don't get it. This is like the most exciting time to be on this planet." She said, "Literally, there's other beings from other universes pulling up front row seats to see what we're creating right now." And it just, I mean, it still gives me chills when I think about that, when she said that, because she was so determined and so matter of fact, like, get on the ride. Like, this is it. We are going to create heaven on earth. And it's, you know, just like any birthing process, you go through all of those phases. There's the gestational period. It's like, okay, what's happening? And then you move into the labor room and it's ugly. It's painful. It sucks. And you want to like, no, turn it off. I don't want this to happen. Or just knock me out and take it away from me. There's so much that we're experiencing in the contractions and the breathing and the laboring of this. And that's where we are. We're laboring right now. We're putting in the effort and the work that needs to be done so that we can birth a new world. And our children and their children and the children who come after, they're coming in because of the work that we're doing, that our generation is doing. It's pivotal work. It's important work. It's changing everything. Will you and I get to see this heaven on earth? I sure as hell hope so. It would be amazing to live that long and to see it. I love watching people and how they behave and how they react or respond to a situation, whether it's appropriate or not. I'm so intrigued by the times that we live in what we've created and where we're getting hung up. It's just absolutely fascinating to me. And you're like me. We both have a dragon in our chart. And dragon has this special gift. And that's why I think dragon is here. Dragon is manifested. Its magicalness is manifested in physical form here through us, people like us, is because dragons have the ability to see the bigger picture. On the Chinese zodiac wheel, the dragon is the only animal that can fly. So it has the ability to leave Earth and ascend high into the heavens and look down and say, "Oh, I see what you folks are up to. Ah, why are you getting so caught up in the drama? There's a greater picture that we can be expanding upon." And that's how I see where we're going. I'm not even going to take my little limited brain and try to figure it out. I just know and feel in my heart and soul that there's a bigger picture, a bigger idea, a bigger plan, and it's shifting and it's morphing as more people wake up and as more people resist and want to stay in the dark. We're going somewhere. Not everybody's going to go the same place, and that's fine. There's no judgment there, because we do live on this planet of duality. That's the core of where we exist, is duality. And this planet will never be rid of duality. It can't be. We won't be able to stay on the planet if we lose the North and the South Pole, if we lose that. So we have to learn how to coexist. We have to learn how to appreciate the other energy, because it exists. It's part of who we are. It's a part of us. We need to have all of that within us. So I think it's exhilarating. And I'm excited. Yes, there's moments when I think, because I have a grandbaby coming next month. She's going to be a little bunny, right? She'll be born the year of the rabbit, and I couldn't be more excited. And there's a moment here or there where I see something on the TV, and it's like, oh, what are we thinking? Why do we want to bring more babies into this planet to be afraid and injured and live in an adult world and not be children? Oh, I'm just going to make her life, her childhood, everything childish. I'm going to let her live a childhood and not morph into an adult when she's five like I had to. So we just have to be a part of the change. We have to create it. We can't just sit and wait for it to happen and hope it's going to be okay.
Yes. Wow, I love that. That is hopeful to hear that perspective. I believe every single thing you just said. I feel that in my core too. I do.
Yeah, good.
I totally do. I also think that, you know, when people look at a baby or children coming in, these are grand warrior souls that are like, let me in there. I can't wait to come and help and usher in this new world. And I had a moment that I actually thought of you recently. It was 2 days ago. When I started working with you, you were telling me about your frustration with the traditional school system. Mm-hmm. And we wake up in layers to things. Mm-hmm. You know? Our brain can't even process it all at once. And so I look back on my life and I recognize that waking up to certain systems in my life, mm-hmm. you know, like in my 20s, I woke up to religion and the religion that I was born and raised in. And I saw things that I'd never seen before and chose to walk out of that religion and leave it in the past, right? Then waking up to media and seeing the deceit behind closed doors with news and people going to news for their information, and me seeing what a joke that was because I studied the news and I was an intern in ABC4 station, right? And seeing things behind closed doors and going, oh my gosh, this is so sensationalized. It's almost like not really, but somewhat watching Days of Our Lives and thinking it's real. I mean, it's a joke in some ways, right? And then the pharmaceutical world. I went into the pharmaceutical world as a pharmaceutical rep and saw the medical system and how broken that was. So it's like these layers that I had to go, okay, what's going on here? Now this is my focus. Okay, now I see what I see. Now I'm going to move on, right? But for sure, 2020 for me was seeing the school system and seeing what everybody's been talking about, but I was too busy to understand, because I was like, I don't know what you guys are all talking about, but I got to drop my kids off and I got stuff to do, right? And now I'm like, oh my gosh, wow, I didn't see it before. And now I see it. And I have really had a struggle, a challenge of knowing what to do with my children that are still small. They're still needing direction. They're still school age, 12 and 13 years old. Mm-hmm. And knowing what I know, yet dropping them off, right? So I found this school recently. I've been trying to look and see what are our options, where's the best way to go here. And I saw this school that's actually here in Utah. And as I was watching their video online and watching the children and these bright, amazing, brilliant children talk about their experience at their school, mm-hmm. listening to the heads of the school and what their style is for these children, I literally started weeping. I was crying. I was like, this is so incredible that there is something like this out there. I had no idea. And so to me, it was just another sign that our world is changing, that there are these solutions popping up, mm-hmm. that are popping up, you know, all over, one by one by one by one. And there are people being the change they wish to see in the world. Mm-hmm. And that is so exciting, because to me, I didn't even know that existed here in Utah. And 2 days ago, I saw that. And mm-hmm. it's close to me. Like, I'm going to go check it out for next year.
Yeah.
But just knowing that that's happening here and it's not in the future, it's here now, mm-hmm. gives me hope for our school system. And it gives me hope for just, you know, all these systems that are breaking down. Mm-hmm.
I know we're really lucky here in Utah because we have so many school options. You know, homeschooling is on the rise, the charter schools, private schools. I know there's other states that don't have charter schools even available, but I agree. There's so many alternatives out there. Just seek the alternative because those old systems are dying. They have to. They have to crumble. They have to be restructured, or they have to go away and let these new progressive alternative ideas come to light. Because again, the rabbit energy is about the future. It's not about the past. It's not about us old people. It's about the children. They're the future. That's who our decisions should be made for. You know, I would rather my mother or my children's grandparents ask them, who do you want me to vote for? What do you want for your future? How can I support your future? Rather than holding on to something that I think I have. Choose an alternative. There's so many alternatives. And if you can't find one, that's the cool thing about technology is you can do this. It doesn't have to be down the street or in your state. It can be somebody somewhere in another part of the world that can teach you or guide you or support you and help you get through this stuff.
Yeah. Wow. You know, what's interesting is when you say if you can't find it, you know, like there's so many options here, homeschooling and that. We did homeschooling for 2 years. It was tricky because I'm not a stay-at-home mom, even though I'm home. And so I'm home, but I have a business that I have a lot of people requiring a lot of my attention throughout the day. So it was very, very tricky. We made it work the best we could, but our kids went back to school this year, and my youngest, I know you know their names. I'm just speaking general, right? Because my youngest, Mia, she was like, you can't make me stay home anymore. I want to go. I want to see my friends. I want to go to school. And I was like, but you don't understand the school system. I'm not all about it, right? Because now I know things. And she's like, well, that's what I want. So I want to go. So she really fought me on it. I put her in school this year. It has been, oh my gosh, not fun. We can't wait till it's over. We got through almost, we're like at the tail end here. But one thing I recognized is, and I'm not saying this is the way it is for every single person. There are some fabulous teachers out there. I know some. I have some coaching clients who are very conscious beings and they're teachers. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying everybody there is like this, but right. This is something for, I want parents to consider. We throw fits over their grades. You know, we put so much energy into how are they doing in school? What is the grade on that piece of paper for them? And I want people to consider, what is the consciousness of these people that are teaching your children? Mm-hmm. Because what I'm seeing is I have gone in and I have sat in front of principals, of teachers with different situations, and I am surrounded by people that are conscious. Not everybody, but I can see things that I didn't used to see because I wasn't conscious.
Yeah.
And I was in a stupor. And I'm not saying I'm an enlightened being. I'm not. I'm not Eckhart Tolle walking the planet. I'm not. I'm not Buddha. I'm not. I still get angry. I still have insecurities. I am not there. Okay. But I see things more clear than I ever have. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even see when I was talking to teachers. I just listened to everything that they said about mm-hmm. my kid. But now I see that my children are more conscious than their leaders. And I really have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. The head of the school, I'm talking to her and the lights are on, but nobody's home. I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
And so my children could literally teach them a thing or two. And I believe that their consciousness is higher than the so-called leaders guiding them. And I have a problem with that. That's mm-hmm. why I started weeping when I saw these very conscious beings who started this school because they weren't all about the status quo out there, and listening to them and how they guide their school. I was just like, the light came down and I was like, oh, this is amazing. Right. But
I hope you'll send me a link. I want to know who this
is. I will. But that is something that I've just really, really struggled with this year of like knowing that I'm sending my children, they're on another level. And many of these amazing, brilliant spirits flooding into the planet, they are on another level, that it's like it's flopped, right? And we're trying to get them to conform to the way things have always been. And this is something that you really, really taught me and really highlighted for me. And I'm so grateful, because I totally shifted my paradigm and the way I looked at my children because of your wisdom sharing with me about these younger generations. Mm-hmm. So share a little bit about what is your outlook? Because people look at this younger generation, they go, oh my gosh, they're so lazy. They're so entitled. They're a lost cause. And it's kind of funny to me, because I'm like, parents bagging on their kids that they're lazy. I'm like, they're your kid. You did that. If they're lazy, then maybe you need to teach them, you know what I mean? But kind of speak to that, what you believe this generation is all about.
Well, again, we're talking about a lot of what you're talking about is projection, right? Parents moved in kind of into a realm of, oh, I'm not going to be that hard parent, or they were the helicopter parent and they just gave their children free will and they could just kind of do whatever they wanted. And now they're like, why are you not being responsible? Why are you failing class? Why are you not getting a job? Why are you getting pulled over for speeding all the time? Yes, I think we do have an important role. I don't think we define who our children are, but we help guide our children. Oh my gosh, I haven't tapped into the newest energy of these children. From my understanding, the majority, like 80% or higher of people under 30 years old, kind of fall in that indigo child category. The kids that are here to question authority, to ask questions like, well, why do we have to learn this math? I'm never going to use this again, right? They're here to, not just the teachers, the parents, the systems. They're here bucking the systems because they're those spiritual warriors that you talked about. So they're here for the fight. And some of them will be the sacrificial warrior for their fight if they have to be, just in order to raise the consciousness of a community. If they're the ones that have to be toting the gun into the school, that's what they'll do. That's the layers and the levels that these warriors will go to. So there is a oneness in that collective indigo energy. And they're not motivated externally. They're not motivated by timeouts and, well, you're grounded, or guilt trips or fear. It doesn't touch them, because that's an old way of parenting. It's an old way of control and manipulation from every system, whether it's the medical system, the school system, the governments, the churches, whatever. So they're trying to prove to you that doesn't work. Dig a little bit deeper, mom. Come from where you want to be, not like what you're worried about the people in the table next to us are thinking of your parenting or what they're saying about your children in the moment. Where they're here to push our buttons for a reason. It's for us. It's not for them. So we, raising these indigo children, I learned early on that I have to be a conscious parent. That was my parenting style. That when my children did something, the first place I did was here. Check in with me. Where am I being inauthentic with who I am and what I'm wanting in this moment? This is because they're reflecting me, right? They're pushing my buttons. So it has to be about me. It can't be about them. But that's what we're doing now as a culture, is we're projecting all of this onto them when we're the ones that helped raise them. We created the systems for them to be in, and we didn't make the changes that they needed from us. We didn't make the shifts. We didn't, you know, get teenagers who we know their circadian rhythm is off, their whole hormonal clock is off, and they really shouldn't be starting school until 10 a.m. in the morning. And we try to get them in before all the other grades so that the school buses are free to pick up grade schoolers. We're still, like you said, trying to take these brilliant, bright lights and tuck them in a box that's existed for generations. And it does not serve the future. So it needs to go away. On the heels of the indigo children, though, and not to say that there aren't some of these energies trickling in, this newer generation, this younger generation, are called the crystalline children. These are the rabbits. These are the peacemakers. Those are the children in our lives that want to do the lemonade stand and raise money for their classmate who has leukemia. They're the kids like Greta that wants to heal the planet. There are the kids that want peace on Earth. So it was like these warrior indigos came in to like lay everything down so that these crystalline energies then can come in and place the peace, that crystalline energy, that light on the planet. Not to say that there aren't other energies, you know, infiltrating that. That sounds like a bad word. It's not. It's just saying that, you know, there's other energies, of course, coming in, because there was early indigo children, you know, like somebody like Barack Obama is an indigo child. So there's those that are older too, kind of pioneering, you know, the way through. I've always been a steward, a champion for the children. There has always been what drives me to do what I do. And they're just, it's unfortunate that their intentions, their goodwill, and they're willing to sacrifice and to do the hard work. Because honestly, look at our generation and older. They're not doing their hard work. A lot of us are not doing our work. We're in victim mode. We're blaming other people. It's not me. It's them. It's the administration. It's this and that. It's like, so they're here having to do the hard work, and it's not easy. And then on top of that, we're not supporting them. Give me a freaking break. These kids need space to be them. And we're not allowing it. We're trying to fit them into models. And yeah, I mean, you talked about grades and stuff. That's something we never did with our kids. It's like, that's your consequence. If you fail the class, that you know you have to take it over. That sucks. But I'm not going to put a punishment on top of that. That makes no sense. That's not a natural consequence to a bad grade. Both of my kids grew up in Montessori for a long time. My son was in Montessori all through eighth grade. And I remember the director of the school calling me up and saying, you know, Auden picked up snow. They had a rule you couldn't pick up snow, because if you picked up snow, you might throw it. Well, he picked up snow again, and he wasn't supposed to. So why don't you come pick him up? And I said, no, that's your rule under your watch. How about you deal with it? Because I'm not going to punish him at home. That's what he wants, is he wants to come home because he knows that I'm not going to punish him because I had nothing to do with it. If I punish him at home, now the whole message gets lost, because now he's upset with me because now I took away his Game Boy. Now it's about the Game Boy and it's about me, when the initial lesson was right there in your hands, and that director of that school or that teacher didn't want to deal with it. They want to project again. Let's move this on. This is somebody else's problem. Oh, yeah. That was absurd what I had asked. I'm like, no, I'm not coming to get him.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because kids have a way. Well, when you have a child, you have a way of thinking about the insanity of why we do certain things, right? So like you saying that, you know, it didn't make any sense, right? If that's your rule, you handle it, you figure it out. I was just watching this part on a sitcom the other day, and this teenage girl got caught trying to sneak out of the bathroom at school. And so that she gets put in the principal's office, and the principal says, you're suspended. And she goes, let me get this straight. This teenager goes, let me get this straight.
Oh, there's my...
So because I was trying to miss school, you're going to make me miss school for my punishment? And he looks at her like, yeah, I know that doesn't make any sense, but that's right. But it's true. Like, I love to hear about the indigo and crystalline children, because so basically an indigo child, what I'm hearing, is one that is here to break down the systems. They're kind of a bit rebellious in a sense, because they're strong. They're really strong, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the crystalline child is more, I feel more of a calmer energy and more of a compassionate, loving energy.
Very empathetic, compassionate soul. Yeah. Yes. And the part we project onto these kids that they're, you know, they have a sense of royalty and deservedness, and they don't want to work hard. Because indigo children and crystalline children, the veil is very thin. Mm-hmm. We're so separate, you know, as older people and as the generations that we are, we're so separate from God energy. And when the veil is thin, you are God. Mm-hmm. When you're God, you manifest instantly.
And you don't have to work 40 hours a week or 60 hours a week to the bone.
Really? I see how stressed you are when you come home, Mom. You think I want that? You think they're going to get off their butts to go do that or go work in a job they don't want to do? No. So one thing I heard years ago was one of the places these indigo children will struggle is that the jobs that they will hold don't exist yet. They need to create their own careers, create their own spaces. And that's what they've done. You know, whether they're online content creators or they're running their own businesses, you know, at 16, 17 years old, or they're doing something different, they're creating their way. We're trying to get these kids to fit into old things, old structures, you know, a 9-to-5 job, or that you have to go work at the fast food restaurant and then work there for a year and get that on your resume because it'll look good and you have to go do. No, we have to create space for them to create their way and their expression. We just need to get out of their way.
Mm, that's so exciting. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for 5-hour work weeks. That's it. That's pretty cool.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Well, I do think that, I mean, even in like when you're looking at the projection of the new innovation of, I mean, I hear, what are they called? Futurists talking about like exponential technologies and stuff like that. They talk about how the 40-hour work week is on its way out and how there will be so much technology that will come in and replace that longer work week to help support people. Now, I think a lot of people are really afraid of this.
Sure.
They're afraid because they think, oh my gosh, it's going to take my job, right? Mm-hmm. But I believe where we're going is a good place. And I think that the more we are in fear instead of like, you know, positive expectation or excitement, mm-hmm. And flow, like let's pivot. Okay, let's see. Let's use our creativity. Mm-hmm. I think this shift is going to really push us to, if we're in a job we hate, if we're in a job or a career that we are not using our creativity, it's going to push us to grow, to learn, to shift into, you know?
It already has since 2020. I mean, that was kind of the big shift for us. We had to shift the way we were working and showing up in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks for the little teaser. I also have a monkey in my chart. So I'm that curious monkey who wants to just hear. So don't fault me for that,
Tina. Oh, never.
How can people get in touch with you? And what do you got going on over there? Tell us.
I just created a new training program. It's really fascinating. I had an aha moment and I'm deep into doing it. It starts in August. So it's a two-step. Phase one is if you just want to come in for 6 weeks and just feng shui you, like know how to pull your chart, your Chinese astrology chart for you and your family members. And then we'll walk through your home. We'll map out your floor plan. It's all done remotely on Zoom live. And then if you want to take it to another level, phase two is to become certified as a feng shui practitioner, learn Chinese astrology, make a business out of it. So it ends up being a full 6-month program if you want to go all in. But I couldn't be more excited for this shift. I have a horse in my chart, so I kind of get bored. And it's like, oh, it's good timing for me to kind of create something new for everybody. So I'm super excited for that coming up. But my business name is Via Feng Shui, BiaFengShui. So I have a YouTube channel. That's my name, Tina Falk, but you can find me on Instagram, on my website. I'm sure you'll include the link, you know.
Yep.
There. So
awesome.
That's it. Yeah.
That's exciting. That is really exciting. Okay. Thanks. So I will definitely drop the link in the show notes for everyone on how to get a hold of you and how to get in touch with you. My last question for you is, what, if you can tell people anything right now, what is your message to the world?
Keep your cool. Yeah, and in so many ways, right? It's like keep your body temperature low because of the fire energy. Keep your emotions in check. Just lay low. Cool people are laid back, right? So keep your cool, put your shades on. Don't let people interrupt your flow. Just chill. And I think that will really help with the elemental stuff, as well as us not fueling the fires that are happening right now. Step back away from the fires to stay cool.
Love it. Awesome. Thank you so much for being
here. Thank you. I love our time together.
I was sitting here thinking, oh my gosh. And like you said, things are going by so quickly. I can't believe, again, that this was like, we've been on here for over an hour. So,
oh my gosh, we have.
I know. It's like a blink of an eye. So I could talk to you all day. I love you so much.
I love you.
I always am inspired by listening to you. So,
ditto. I love you.
And I'll have you on again.
Okay. Say hi to everyone for me.
I will. And I'm excited for you to have your new grandbaby. So
I know.
Oh my gosh. So thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in today and listening to this important message. What is the energy of this year? And how can you do your own work? Like Tina said, how can you start to make those shifts in your life? How can you look at your family patterns, your belief systems that you inherited, and how can you do the work to shift that and turn up your own light? That's how we're going to really help this world one by one. So, all right. I'll see you next week, everyone. Bye for now.
Do you have a coach? I would love to take this journey with you to dive deep and start to shift those areas to create a life that truly honors you. I'll meet you on that bridge at whatever level you are ready, with either group or one-on-one coaching. You can check out my programs at jensuliafu.com/programs. Also, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and rate and review this show and give me your feedback. Also, please share this with your friends and family and be a lighthouse out in the world. Thanks for joining me.